But like when you feel good about yourself, that just like radiates off of you.
Welcome to the Live Well, Be Bold podcast, a podcast on personal growth and self-expression. I'm your host, Carla Gregg, and I'm here to empower you to branch out and let go of fears. Every week, you'll get insight on how to be bold by simply bettering yourself in all aspects. Be sure to head over to the Live Well, Be Bold Facebook group to continue the conversation after each episode. Be bold by defining the path to your own life.
All right, welcome to another episode of Live Well, Be Bold. I'm super excited about today's guest because I have known her most of my life. She is a fashion designer and her name is Stephanie. So I'm really excited to have you on the podcast, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited to be here, Carla.
So, Stephanie, I want you to dive into your story because you are a fashion designer, and that sounds like such a fancy title, but it's been a long time coming for you to get to where you're at. So I just kind of want you to go into, how you got started and just tell us a little bit about that. The beginning.
All right. Well, despite of what people may think, being a fashion designer is like probably the most It is the most unglamorous job. You make beautiful things, you get to dream up beautiful things, but it is very anti-glamorous. But I do kind of weirdly love it because of that. You get to be behind the scenes, you get to see like everything that goes behind a single garment. I love it so much, but it wasn't always just fashion. I feel like right out of college, I just needed to survive. And I worked normal jobs. Like I was a babysitter, like everybody and their moms were. I worked in food and retail because I stupidly moved to an expensive area that I couldn't afford. But that's okay. It was a life lesson. And then I actually moved back home where I thought my dreams could never happen because it's a small town and there's no way that it could happen in a small town. And my husband, who is not a fashion person at all, not even an artsy person, to say the least, he was my biggest motivation as far as like, you have to do this. You spent all this time and money and you have this gift. You have to do it. So he really was like the one that told me, if you want your dreams to happen, you could make them happen from any corner of the world. And so that's kind of what I did. And it started in the corner of a bedroom in our first home, and then it went down to a crappy garage, and then that garage was remodeled and made into a beautiful studio, and then we sold that house, and then I lost my studio, and then I went back again to working in a room upstairs in my house until I got my studio downtown. So it's been a journey. It's been a long journey, but it's been interesting.
So to give a little bit of what, so Stephanie, she went to school for fashion design. You went to FITM, right? In San Francisco?
Yes.
So, okay. You were really living like the city life and then had to move back home, which I could relate to that because I also lived in a big city, then had to move back home to start my business and my creative endeavors. And it's always like that feeling of failure in a way, right? Stephanie owns a shop, her own business. It's called Taste Studio here in Modesto, California. And like she said, she started in her garage. That to me is such a It's just such a Cinderella story because I feel like a lot of time people see like what you are now and think like, oh my God, she had it so easy. Or if it's somebody who wants to do what you're doing, cause you have a brick and mortar now. So you have like a studio, right? Where you design, would you call that a brick and mortar or?
I guess technically, yes, studio, it is a brick and mortar, but it's not like a brick and mortar that's open to the public. It's just not in my home anymore.
Right. Yeah. So how was the process of like having to make the shift from going to your studio and, well, no, living, let's go back, let's trace back. So like living in a city, in a big city, and then having to come back. Did you feel like a failure before like your husband kind of convinced you that this was possible to do something like this in a small town?
I felt like the biggest failure ever, just in life, not even just with the whole fashion thing. I was extremely depressed. I probably didn't, I moved back in with my mom and my sister. I didn't have a job for months and I almost felt like I didn't even want to try because I was just like, I failed. I'm a loser, you know? And I was just like, I can't keep doing this. And actually my sister, she did something really sweet for me at the time, which kind of helped me get out of the funk, but she had me, she got me like a little notebook and she had me write down, 5 things every day that I was grateful for. And, just going through the list, and I had to pick something different every day. Going through the list and doing that list every day kind of reminded me how lucky I was, how privileged I was, even though it didn't feel like that at the moment. But it made me realize like, oh my God, I have all the tools to do this. You know what I mean? There was nothing holding me back except my like negative mentality at that moment, because I just like, my feelings were, they were too powerful. Like they overtook my body. Like I couldn't do anything, you know? Okay. And it was just silly to let my mind win like that. And so I had to make my mind over pretty much. And it still took some time even after that. I actually started working with her. She got me a job at her office. And then I worked there for like 5 years. But while I was working there, that's when I started kind of doing my side hustle and started again with fashion, because I felt like in my mind, and now I realize that's in my mind, that I just needed a little job. I just needed something, you know? And then I realized, man, if I would have just dove right into this and really taken a shot, I probably would have even been like further than I am now, but it's okay. Cause that's all part of the journey. You know what I mean? I don't regret that.
I have a lot to, that I want to touch base on, but I'm going to go back to like the privilege thing, because I feel like a lot of the times people make excuses as to why they can't get started on something, right? Because you just look at the beginning and then like where you want to get to and you're like, oh, that's going to be so much work. I can't do it. Right. So for you, like you actually came from a family that didn't have much, you know, you've shared that online, but obviously I know you in a personal level. And you started creating clothing just because you didn't have, you know, that the most trendy stuff and you loved creating. So can you share a little bit about like, why you got started in fashion and like why you became so passionate about it, growing up with like a family that didn't have much?
Yeah. I am actually, that is one of the privileges that I had, to not be raised with much. I'm so grateful that I wasn't just handed everything. I don't think that's a privilege at all to be handed everything. I love that my mom had to make our clothes because we literally could not afford it. That's my favorite part of my story, because if that wasn't part of the story, I would have never picked up those scraps to make my doll's clothes by hand. You know what I mean? I would have never probably understood right off the bat the engineering of a garment if I didn't see my mom making dresses from scratch. You know what I mean? So I love that part of my story. And I love that my mom and so many women in my family before, like my great aunt and her, you know, mother and my mom's mother, they all sewed. They all did it for a living at some point. So it's like, it's almost part of who I am, you know, who I was like almost meant to be, but I don't know. Yeah, kind of. I feel that way. Like yeah. I kind of had it in my blood, you know, but I was triggered by my circumstance as well. Right. And yeah. It just pushed me forward, you know, and to be like, my mom doesn't really, like, I love my mom and she knows how to sew, but she has no style, like, whatsoever. It's so bad. And, like, I couldn't just leave it up to my mom to make us, me and my sister, what she wanted. Because if it was up to her, we would be, like, in, like, the poofy sleeves and just, like, do you know what I mean? Just, like, random, like, collars. Just
right. Things that you find, like, at Joann's thrift store from, like, the 90s or, I don't know. I mean, you are.
Yeah, but. Exactly. And actually, we didn't go to Joann's. Joann's was, like, too nice. We literally would go to the flea market that used to be in Galt. Do you know where Galt is?
Mm-mm.
No, it's like, I don't even know where it's at anymore, but we used
Central
to go there.
Central Valley, California, for those who don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so it was just like this crappy little city, even crappier than the one that we lived in. And we would drive out there and they had like big flea markets and, or they had a flea market, but they had like booths that had fabric. I don't think that they have that anymore because I used to see fabrics at, you know, at flea markets all the time. I don't see them at all, but that's how we would get our fabric. So it was probably like discounted, but I was always determined, how do I make this crappy fabric look good? Like pick the best one out of all of them. So it was always like a challenge. And I love that challenge. I love that challenge till this day, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just fun.
So when you realize, like, you're like, I'm making excuses, like, I'm privileged in the sense that I have all the right tools, like, how did you get yourself out of that mindset of, I can't do this to, oh, I can. What steps do I need to take to get to where I want to be?
It took a lot of crying. I cried all the time. I couldn't stop crying because I just knew I could do it. And then I just didn't because I was scared. Honestly, it took changing my mindset. I listened to a lot of like Gary Vee at the time, like years ago, like, I don't know. I mean, he's been around for a long time, but I listened to him a lot. I listened to a lot of podcasts, which motivated me. I just kind of on top of the motivation I already got from my family, because for some reason they super believed in me, even though I didn't even give them a reason to at that point in time. My husband believed in me. Again, I didn't give him a reason to believe in me at that time, but like I had all of this support. And I was just like the missing link, like, okay, go and do it. Just do it because you can, you know? And yeah, I think it just took like feeding myself a lot of positive things, like mentally, emotionally, and just being kind to myself, I guess, like not being so hard on myself, which we all are very hard on ourselves the most, you know? But yeah, I just remember one day I needed a few things. Like I wanted an industrial sewing machine. I needed fabric. And I didn't have any money. Like I literally had no money. And so I asked my husband for a loan. And I was just overwhelmed with this feeling like I could do it. I feel like I could do it and I have to do it. It was just like, and so I just did. And I asked him for a small loan of $2,000. I got myself.
I'm glad you didn't say, oh, I asked him for a small loan of $1 million.
No, like it was funny because I'm pretty sure I wanted more money. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you need to learn how to work with less because you already have like nothing, you know? And I was like, okay, I could do that. So I ordered my industrial sewing machine, which is like was the most important tool that I needed. Because before that I was still sewing on the sewing machine that my mom got from my dad on their wedding day. And it was like crappy. And she still uses it. She tunes it up all the time, but it just would not hold up to what I was trying to do. And so I got my sewing machine and I spent the rest of the money, which was not much, on fabric. I just spent it all on fabric, thread, zippers or whatever, everything that I needed to come up with a very small collection. I made 80 pieces by hand in 2 months. And that's when I had my first ready to wear kind of shop, pop-up shop thing in my garage, where, I mean, oh, well over 100 people showed up, and I pretty much sold everything. And I, and it kind of made me feel like, no, it definitely made me feel like, okay, I could do it. And then I just burnt myself out completely from that. And it took me a while to do something like that again, like the ready to wear kind of stuff. But because of that, I did get more business and more clients. And I mean, I worked, I never stopped.
Right.
But, and then recently I had my first open house at the brick and mortar downtown Modesto. And that was phenomenally successful, way beyond my wildest dreams. I did not think that that would go as well as it did. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
Privilege.
There's a lot of like ups and downs, obviously, with anything that you get started in. And it's like, even as business owners or, you know, whatever thing that you're hopping, like you're trying to do, there's going to be moments of like, you know, failures. And recently, what's like something that you've had to struggle with? I mean, especially right now during like COVID, that you kind of felt like, oh my God, I'm back to the beginning, but you, you know, you really took matters into your own hands and did what you had to do to make it successful.
I would say I felt like everything came to a halt, but it was almost like that was everybody else. Everybody else came to a halt, you know? And I was like, what can I do? Cause I cannot stop. Like, I'm at this point where I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, being at the studio at 4:30 in the morning, and being there till 8 o'clock at night to get everything done that I needed to get done. And I was like in this mode, like, we got to go, we got to do this. So I, the first 3 days of COVID, I was kind of like down. I was like, man, what am I going to do? And then it was funny because I did that sketch of you. It was just like inspired of you, you know, with your big curly hair, and then a romper that I wanted to make to be part of my collection. And then somebody else saw that sketch and she was like, well, you better do one for me. And I was like, okay, so I did it. And then I feel like after I had posted your sketch and then my other friend's sketch, it was just like, we were on this ride, like, of something that I always dreamt of doing, which is sketching fashion illustrations. It is like one of my biggest loves in the arts, I guess. And I just started sketching because I was supposed to have the open house at the art gallery, which got canceled because of COVID. And I was like, you know what? This doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I started doing those sketches and I just started sketching. I just set up my whole bedroom to be my sketching room. And that's what I did. And now I sell sketches. And actually they're going live tomorrow on my website. Cause now they're on the website and you could order them that way. So no more, well, you could still DM me, but you know what I mean? So right. It's a lot more professional. So even getting to that, I never thought that that would happen.
Yeah. And I was going to bring that up because, you know, you started with your machine, just your machine. That was your tool. And a lot of times, you know, you take that step, but then I feel like people still make excuses. It's like, oh, well, yes, I took that step, but I also need this. And for you, a lot of the times that was like a website where you're like, I need a website in order to even get started. And it's like, no, you have your main tools, but you've really been able to like kill it just online with like your social media, like
just Instagram. I literally, right? Like, I want to get into the other platforms and I would love to learn how to do a TikTok video like properly. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm just going to, for now, as you know, I know there's going to be a point where I'm going to have to do more than just Instagram, because that's just kind of the trend. But for now, just using what I have, I'm just taking full advantage of it. I would say 98% of my sales came from direct messages on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
That's like all of it. You know, like very rare, like, oh, my mom's got a friend that she's like, oh, this person wants this or whatever. That's the 2%. Okay.
Right.
98% has been direct messages, from people that I know and most people that I don't know. But that's also been awesome because I'm like, oh, you know, you kind of feel like, are they just doing this because they know me and they want to be nice and they're just trying to support me and, you know, they feel bad for me. But coming from a stranger is almost more flattering because I'm like, oh my God, you don't know me. You don't know my mom. She didn't yeah. like send you to my Instagram. So yeah, it's been really awesome.
I love Instagram. I was going to ask, how do you get out of like your, like when you have negative mindset, you know, because you said like, oh, it's kind of like, validation when a stranger buys your work because you're like, oh, I'm actually good. Like people are paying, you know? So like when you're feeling down, I mean, that's not a moment you're really down about it, but like when you're just feeling down, discouraged, like how do you get out of that mindset now that you've kind of been doing this for a few years and you know that you're going to have ups and downs regardless?
So I actually heard something really awesome this morning from my sister, and I didn't even realize that this is something that I do. I mean, sometimes I just, you know, get down on myself and then I'm just like, get over it. Like I just tell myself, get over it. But she, is reading a book. It's like a self-help book. We love those, us Rodriguez sisters. but it talks about the 5-second rule. Like, when you need to get out of bed, like give yourself, say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go.
Is this a Mel Robbins,
you need to get
right?
out of a bad mood, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, get out of it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I realize and I have to remind myself, like, this isn't my, it isn't in my control. So why am I going to hold on to something that I have absolutely no control over? It's just silly to me, you know? And I also have, again, I have to give a lot of credit to this guy because he's awesome, but I have a really level-headed husband who's like, get out of your head. Like, you know what I mean? Or why in a bad mood or just whatever I need to hear. And it's like, I don't know. And it's, you know, I kind of just like talk myself out of it. He kind of talks me out of it. But I think having like the right people in your life helps. If you had a negative person constantly that was a big part of your life, that would be very hard to get past certain things. You know what I mean? And as somebody who values happiness and people, like you want to keep the most healthy people around you, like the most healthy minded people who are going to cheer you on. Not maliciously, but genuinely, you know? And I feel like I have a lot of those people in my life. So another way that I'm extremely privileged, that I've always been privileged, like I have the best cheerleaders, I would say.
I love that you don't see like your, you know, just the way you grew up or certain things that you didn't have as like it not being a privilege. You've really taken the negative and transformed it into something that, you know, positive for you to move yeah. forward and do what you want to do. So what is like your biggest why? I know you love fashion, right? But like why do you do what you do?
I think I just really enjoy it. I love it with so many parts of me. Like my creative mind is always working. Like literally I dream about this, legitly dream about sewing, designing. I have dreamt of a dress and I've woken up to like sketch it out real quickly because I can't forget, like, I don't want to forget it. You know what I mean? And it's just, I think it's a part of who I am. And I just genuinely love it. It's really, for me, it's not like money or fame. People always tell me, oh, you're going to be famous one day. And I hate hearing that. Honestly, I hate hearing that, even though I know people are so well intended with when they say it, and I'm just like, no, that's not my goal. I love making women happy, especially because women are very we could be very insecure, we could be very fickle, we could be you know, really hard on ourselves. And I know it sounds crazy, and I'm not saying I have all these powers or anything, but I have seen like women's face light up and then feel really confident in something that I made just for them. And I love that. I love that I could do that for a woman, a woman who may be insecure, you know, who can't ever find something for her specific body type to flatter them. Like, I love that I could help women in that way. And not like I'm vain or like, oh, this is the only way to help women. But, you know, sometimes it really starts just like with that little boost. We all need a little boost. Right. Just like I needed a boost when I was down on myself because I didn't have this and I didn't have a sewing machine or whatever. Like, I got that boost, maybe in a different way, but like, that's all I needed. I just needed a little boost. And sometimes that's all women need, you know?
I think, because I know that you love to dress up in your everyday life. And I'm a big believer in when you get up in the morning and you put on clothes that makes you feel confident, and you're going to feel confident in inward and outward. Right. So I totally agree. I mean, just people might think that, you know, a dress is such a not simple thing, but it's like a materialistic thing. Like, why would women be happy about that? But it does make a big difference, especially when it helps them with like their internal well-being.
Exactly.
So being, yeah. That's a good transition, being that this is Live Well and Be Bold, live a like well life, like, you know, like just physically, spiritually, mentally, how do you live well?
I think I have really good habits as far as what I take in, what I do for myself, taking the time to exercise first thing in the morning. Right now I am eating healthy, so I'm on that journey at the moment. And it does help. It helps my mood, you know, taking in spiritual food daily as well as physical food, having good relationships with the people that matter the most to me, staying in constant communication with them. And those really include my mom and my sister. Like, they're the most important people in my life. So just keeping those who love me genuinely and who I love genuinely, keeping them always constantly in my life, I think is part of my healthy routine as well. Even things like at night, I make sure I wash my face, tone it, do all stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that helps me. And again, not in a vain way, but like when you feel good about yourself, that just like radiates off of you. Yeah. I love getting up in the morning. And even if I'm groggy, I force myself out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, even during quarantine. And I drink a cup of coffee. I go outside. You know, I water my plants. Like, that's what I do. My daily.
Yeah.
So I do that before I start working out. So I just think it's just being balanced, just balance.
I love seeing that transformation because, like I said, I've known Stephanie most of my life. And it's crazy to see how much change you've had, like with even just like waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm over here like, God, I wish that was me. Like, I still have not built that habit. So kudos to you for doing that because it's hard.
Thank you.
But it is taking that little step, you know, like, okay, if I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock today, then like, I don't know, just creating those habits, right? Which you've clearly done.
And a lot of people, like, I know, like, even just talking to my sister-in-law, like, she's like, why would I wake up that early? Like, I have a whole day to kill. Like, what am I going to do? You know?
Right.
But just because right now she's not working because of the whole COVID thing. But for me, since I have my own business, which you could also relate to, like, we are our own bosses. Nobody else is setting our schedule for us but us. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we're not going to take the opportunity that we have, which is time at this moment, then how are we ever going to get like reach the goals that we have or do the things that we want to do, you know? So to me, it is very important to wake up early. And they say that the first 3 hours of your day are when you wake up are like the most productive hours of the day. And I feel like that's so true. And I always feel more productive. Honestly, I know it sounds crazy. 5 o'clock in the morning, I could be up, you know, get out of my own head, drink coffee, and just get to it. I actually did that this morning. I was at the studio by 6, worked 5 hours. Wow. By the time noon came around, and I got so much done. It'll blow your mind. Like, and right. Those are my favorite days. 'Cause now, what? It's only 5:08. and I've done a million things.
Right.
I love this. This is
why I invite specific people on my podcast, because I feel like we all go through these like moments of, you know, doubt in ourselves and stuff like that. But when I get to see the transformation and the people that I bring on, and they're people who are just like everyone listening, who, you know, we have our negative mindsets at moments. Maybe we have like, we all have the same hours, but who's going to take advantage of the hours that we're given each day, right? And that is like the bold, driven people. So I just love that you've, you know, you really value your life and you wake up that early.
I freaking love my life. I love every part of my life. But I'll tell you this. I always think of this analogy, like going along with, like, you know, there's like regular people that would love to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning listening to this podcast, and that's okay. But like, if you want to be the person that wakes up at 5 and does all these crazy things, like, you can be that person. You just have to choose to be that person. That's kind of like, if you fall down, like, are you just going to like lay there? Like, you don't have to choose for that to be your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have the option to be a positive, go-getter, happy-go-lucky, confident person if you want to be that person. Do you know what I mean? We don't have to just lay on the ground and let it happen to us.
Right.
That's my whole point.
That's like your life motto right there, which I was going to ask you about. But so like, what is something, I mean, I know you've done so much with like where you were at and just taking all those next steps to get to where you want to be. What is something that you haven't done that you would still love to do as like a fashion designer, or maybe just as a general human?
Well, as a fashion designer, there is something that I have been wanting to get into for such a long time. And it's 3D printing. I know it's super nerdy, but there's so many things that I want to do. And I've already started sketching a few things that I would want to do with a 3D printer. I don't know. Do you know what a 3D printer is? So pretty much it prints out 3D things, like something simple. For instance, say you wanted to print out a cup.
Right.
You know, you could print out a cup, you just feed it like plastic or the material, right? And then it'll print it out in plastic. So it'll be like a tangible thing.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of designers in the field who use 3D printers, like to make like crinoline skirts, you know, like in the olden days where they like had a bell, they looked like bells. Like that was underneath.
Yeah. I was curious to know how you would use that in your...
Yeah. And then also like bodices, like, you know what I mean? Doing fun stuff like that. Even, you know, people use it to make buttons or, like different designs, like you could put on a dress. I was even thinking, and I actually ordered some stuff to start it already because I'm actually ordering a 3D printer. When they become available, but because so many people wanted to get into it during quarantine, they're like sold out. But I want to do like belts, you know, print out some belts that'll go with some of my pieces so they could be sold with the pieces. I also did some like hair clips. Okay. I wanted to have like, I love bows, as you know. I want to do like plastic bows, but like really cool, just, I just have all these ideas that I want to do with a 3D printer. And it was so funny because Jared, my husband, was, he was telling me one day, because sometimes he tells me he wants to spend money on the stupidest things. And he was like, okay, you're going to think this is really dumb. And I had never told him of this desire that I had for a 3D printer, because I just thought it was so untangible, unreachable. Like, I didn't think it would ever happen. And then he was like, I kind of want a 3D printer. And I was like, I want a 3D printer. And he's like, you do? Like, for what? You know, and then I was telling him of all these things that I had like dreamt up in my mind. And he was like, okay, now we have to get it. So now we're like on the hunt for one.
Ooh, wow.
But yeah, that's something that I really, really want to do. The other thing in just life, I just want to go back to traveling more than anything.
Don't we all? Oh my God. What's one of the places that you've traveled that you love to travel that you've gone to? I'm just
like my favorite place.
Yeah.
I loved Spain so much. It was so romantic. That's actually where I got my idea to open up the Tay Studio in downtown, because a lot of the places in Barcelona, like we had gone to this little street that was like all alleys. Like you go and there's this beautiful street right in the main part of the downtown, I guess, area of Barcelona. And it's all very beautiful. But then there was like a few streets that were alleys and they had storefronts, but in alleys, which I mean, doesn't make sense, but that's their storefront, right? And in the front, they sold their goods where they made it in the back. So like right where they made their products, their handmade products, that they also sold it there. So I had that idea, and that's why my studio, like, that's why I wanted to have the open house there, because it's like, hey, you are literally walking into the place where I made this for you with my hands with these machines, because that's exactly how it was. Like Jared got a belt made, like, in front of him, you know, on the spot. Asha got, like, a necklace made for her. You know, we all got something. We all got something.
Right.
And I just went back with this like thing in my head, and it did not leave me until I got this Tay Studio.
So just to give you guys an idea of how this studio looks, it's a fashion studio. So she has all her machines and equipment there. And then she has several like pieces that she's designed that people can buy, because she makes, what do you call that when you make a bunch of the same?
Oh, like a,
I don't know. Because you mean you
ready to wear pieces. Right. Sorry.
But yeah, you focus more on custom designs, but you also do ready to wear. Okay, so we are heading towards the end of the podcast. Stephanie, thank you for like opening up and stuff, because I feel like you were just like on it, you know. And I never know guess how much they're going to share. But so. Thanks. I'm curious to know how you want people to remember you. I feel like this entire podcast has been pretty like motivational, like go do what you want to do in life. But how do you really want people to remember you as?
I want them to remember me as a kind person. Like, I don't necessarily need to be like, oh, she was a designer, you know? I want them to remember me as a kind person and somebody who would help anybody pursue their dreams. That's it.
I love it. That's a human, good human right there. okay. My favorite question to ask, of course, is what does it mean to be bold for you?
It means, this is going to be silly, but like just dressing up for the heck of it on a Wednesday, like afternoon, like who cares? Just do it. You know, like, today I wore like a long skirt and like a really cute ruffled top, and I was walking downtown and a homeless guy was like, you're wearing an evening gown. And I was just like, no, not really. But you know, some people view it as so like, why are you dressed up? Like, where are you going? Where do you have to go? And I'm like, you know what? I'm dressed up for me, you know, like, like I go to Target. Okay, maybe I just want to like keep, where are you going? I'm going to Target. Like, that's where I'm going. Right. You know?
I love how every episode is so different based on people's like interest, because yours is literally just putting on like the most extra fabulous outfit on a Wednesday.
That's it. It's that simple, because you know, it also puts you in a good mood. Building people up could be bold, and sometimes we build people up when they see you walking around with all this confidence and with a smile on your face, and it's just so, it's so easy, you know. But people need a little spark of joy.
I know that when I'm around you and you're dressed up super glam, it does make me want to just like, even if I'm not dressed up glam, just seeing you just like rock it and be happy, right? Even if I'm wearing sweats around you, like, it makes me feel that way. Like, it makes me feel happy. And
You see?
It works.
It works.
Well, Stephanie, thanks for being on the podcast. But before we end the podcast, where can people find you?
So if you go to www.shoptaystudio.com, there you'll find my like sketches that I sell and some merchandise, but my products aren't all up there, but you could just find me on Instagram at taste_studio.
Perfect. And I'll link all that stuff down below. She did mention she's selling her sketches. This episode's going to be posted a few days after, but I'll link everything down below. So go support her, give her some love. And Stephanie, thanks so much for being a part of my podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye.
Bye.